Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Morning, good morning, Fusion Church. Amen. You guys can hear me okay this morning? All right. We are this morning in Nehemiah chapter 2. Let us all begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this is the day that you have made, Father God, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning. And Father, now we ask you, Lord, that you will speak to us, that it be you and not me, Father. Speak to our hearts, Father God, and just show us the way, O Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Freedom Friday is finally here. And you know what? And I'm going to be sharing some things this morning in a little bit. But, you know, it's so good to be able to get to Friday, you know, because it's been a long week. And I'll share that in a minute. Okay, we are in Nehemiah chapter 2. Let us begin this morning. And it came to pass that in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I have never been sad in his presence before. Therefore, king said to me, "Why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart." So I became dreadfully afraid. 3, and said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste and his gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, What do you request? So I prayed to God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it." 6. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. 7. Therefore, I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through it, that I will go to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the gates forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gate of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy." And the king granted them, while he was according to what was good in the sight of God. And he also gave us an army and horsemen with me. Then in verse 10, with Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, and a few men with me. I told no one what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode 13. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent's wall and to the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were burned, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the walls, then turned back and entered the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others about the work. 17. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem, that we will no longer be reproached." And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he has spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. 19. But when Sabaoth the Horonite, Taboiah the Ammonite officials, and Gisham the Arab heard of it, they laughed and despised us and said, "What is this that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" 20. So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will rise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem." Amen. All right. We got through that. Let's stretch a little bit. You know, this particular book, the author is unanimous. You know, they don't know who wrote it. The purpose of this particular book is more historical insight, you know, and it goes into a scripture. It goes into the worship. It goes into prayer. You know, and the main character of this particular book, of course, is Nehemiah. He was the first, you know, to taste the food that the king was going to eat and the drink that the king was going to drink, because he had to make sure that it wasn't going to poison the king. So that was his job. His job was to put his life on the line every single time the king was going to eat or drink. So that was also a prestigious position. So here in verse one, you know, it starts that it was on the ninth of Nisan in the 12th year of the king of Xerxes, you know, that he went before him. And when he went before him, he has never been sad. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to go before a king, you don't want to go over there before the king not looking right, because, you know, that's a prestigious person, you know, then you have to make sure that you're right when you go before him. And in verse 2, it says, "Therefore the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad? And why because you are not sick, you know, but I feel that this particular sorrow is of heart. It's a heart.'" So before this, you know, in chapter 1, it talks about that, you know, that Nehemiah, you know, he heard what was happening. He heard about Jerusalem and what was taking place there. And the city was destroyed, the walls were down, you know, and that was why he was sad, because he was praying, you know, what can I do, you know, for this? What can I help some ways? And then here opportunity arises, you know. And in verse 3, he says, and said to the king, you know, this is when he's responding to the king. He says, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city and the place of my father's tomb lies in waste?" You know, so he was careful in how he responded to the king. He was careful to use the right words, because if he was to use the wrong words, it might offend the king. You know, because technically he was talking about Jerusalem, Well, you read here, he didn't even mention Jerusalem. He spoke about, you know, his father's tomb, because here the Persians, you know, the Persians, they were very critical in how they bury their ancestors, you know, with precious stones and beautiful tombs and all that. So they put a lot of effort into it. So Nehemiah, because God has given him wisdom, he approaches the king in a different way, and he talks about the tombs of his father. In other words, he was gaining sympathy from the king. You know, is the right words to be able to ask, you know, at that particular time. So that's why he do that. And also, Nehemiah, he was touched by what he heard. So he had to compose himself. He had to calm down after he heard this news. But even though he was calm, and when he spoke to the king, it still reflected on his appearance. It still reflected in his face, you know. And therefore, you know, we are all going to have hard times. We are all going to have difficult situations, you know. And this week itself, you know, my week started Monday. You know, me and my wife, and this is part of like a little testimony, but me and my wife, you know, we had a doctor's appointment. So we went to the doctor's appointment. The doctor's appointment went from getting checkup to going to the hospital. From the hospital, they looked, they were checking up her arm because she hurt her arm a few weeks ago. And they said there's something wrong. There's probably restriction going on, the flow of blood, and she got admitted. From there, while I'm dealing with all this, I heard that my daughter was involved in a car accident. So here I'm in the hospital with my wife, and I got my daughter on the other side in a car accident. Total the car that she had. But praise the Lord that she was able to walk away from it. Praise the Lord that she was able to walk away from it. We will have difficult times, you know. And my wife was hospitalized at the same time, so my emotions are all over the place. You know, when you have both of your girls dealing with something, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. But, you know, but God always gives us grace. God always gives us wisdom. God always helps us. But even through all that, you know, my wife, you know, ended up being there for a couple of days. She had surgery in her arm. And so I spent the first half of this week, I spent it going back and forth to the hospital and all that. But God, you know, the number one thing that we need to do is when we fall into these particular situations that are difficult, you know, just like Nehemiah, have a difficult situation, we need to make sure we go before the Lord. We need to make sure that we spend time with him. We need to make sure that we present it to him. Because you know why? Because God has our back. God has our back. And if God has allowed it to occur, you know, it is for a reason. It is for a reason. We may not understand it because I'm still going like this, trying to figure everything out, you know. But you know what? God is still good. God is still wonderful. He always makes a way. And he says in verse 4, then the king said to me, what is your request? So I pray. See what I'm saying? So I pray. So Nehemiah, pray. You know, we need to pray. We need to go before the Lord before we make big decisions. We need to go before him, you know, and at least plead our case before him, you know, because as we pray to him, now, you know, we're making a way for him to answer us, to speak to us, you know, and it says, if it pleases the king, you know, and if I have found favor, allow me to go to Judah and repair the tombs of my father. So he makes his request. Because why? Because after he prayed, God told him, God showed him, you know, what to do, how to do it, you know. And the king also goes into how long are you going to be gone? Where's, you know, on your journey? And when will you come? And I'm thinking about this. Wait a minute. You know, Nehemiah, he was a servant of the king, right? So, and here he's giving him permission. Ah, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to, you know, what do you want? And he's giving him what he wants, because favor of God is there for every single one of us. God will always make a way. You know, and going back to our testimony here, you know, being in the hospital, which is not a very positive thing to, you know, for us to deal with, you know, God gives us favor. God makes a way. I cannot complain whatsoever about how we got treated at the hospital, in the emergency room, with the doctors, with the nurses, with the specialists, with the technicians. It was just like one will come and speak to us, you know, and the other one will come, but we always felt peace. Because why? Because even though in difficult situation, God makes a way and gives us favor. Because why? Because we are his sons and his daughters. So God has you, no matter what you're going through this morning or have been going through this week. Hey, I don't have all the answers. I got all kinds of issues going on, you know what I mean? But I said, I count it into all joy when we fall into these trials and tribulations. Why? Because they are perfecting us. They are making us strong. They are building us up, you know? So I would say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this season? What are you trying to show me as I go through this season that I do not like? Because who likes trials? Come on now. Who likes trials? I don't think nobody likes trials, but we're going to face them. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but fear not, because I have overcome the world. So when we go through these things, God is going to make a way, just like he made a way for Nehemiah with the king. With the king, you know, and he goes further. He says, King, if it pleases you, verse 7, you know, give me letters that I can use so I can get access, that I can get permission to travel to the land, that I can get permission, that I can get the temple to rebuild the walls, you know, at the temple, you know. So here the Lord has given him favor, you know, and he wrote letters for him. So that way he can go ahead and share these letters, you know. So because he says, you know, he says in verse 8, and a letter to ask for the keeper of the king's forest, you know, for the timber that I needed for the gates, you know, of the cathedral, you know, of the temple, for the walls, you know. So he got this letters, he got granted, you know, and he says, according to the good hand of my God upon me. So God's hand was upon Nehemiah. You know, God's hand was upon Nehemiah, even though he was a servant here, you know, and he really didn't have too many rights, but his position, you know, that God has allowed him to obtain, he had favor of the king. He had the favor of the king, and he was able to be able to attain this letters and do what the Lord has called them to do. So in other words, we need to be grateful, my brothers and sisters, even though we might be in lack, even though we might be in a difficult situation, we need to be grateful that God, you know, is making a way where there seems to be no way, that he's making a way even in impossible situations, you know, and God is always going to open up a door for us. Because the call upon your life will be fulfilled. The call upon your life will be fulfilled as we take the steps, as we take the steps. We may not understand everything, but we got to trust God, just like Nehemiah did. You know, and in verse 9, he says, and I went to the governors of the region beyond the river and gave the king's letters. Now the king has set captains of the armies of men with me. So in other words, the king also said, you know what? I'm going to give you a little extra. I'm going to send some protection for you. I'm going to send you some of my men, you know, on horseback and, you know, military guys, men of war, you know, so that they will protect them, you know? So it's also providing protection. That's how the Lord works, because, you know, sometimes we may not understand, but he's making a way, and he was making a way for Nehemiah, you know? And of course, anytime you want to do something for the Lord, the enemy has to put his two cents in. The enemy always wants to come and bring doubt and bring fear. So if you're going through something today, fear not. Fear not. If you're going through a difficult situation, you know, or if you're hearing some bad news, hey, I got plenty of news this week. plenty of news this week, you know, between my wife, you know, the illness, between my daughter and that accident, you know, and praise God, you know, the car was total, but she walked away from it, you know, but even before that, even though she speed up right now, you know, because of the car accident, but, you know, she's walking and she's breathing. And I got to be grateful, but God always makes a way. But the enemy also wants to bring havoc. He also wants to take you off your target. He wants to take you off your focus. And that's why we need to make sure that we don't listen to what the enemy is telling us or whispering into our ears. We need to stand by God's promises and God's word, because God will always, always, always make a way for us. You know, so here in verse 11, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. So he got to Jerusalem, Nehemiah, you know, he's trying to settle in a little bit. And what does he do? And it was nighttime, verse 12, you know, he decided to go for a walk because he wanted to see, you know, the work at hand. He wanted to see, you know, what was told to him. Now he's able to see it and obtain, because before we do anything for the kingdom of God, we got to make sure that we know what we're going to get into. We need to make sure that we see the mission, and then for this, we could start planning, okay, how are we going to tackle this? You know, so he went by night, and it's in verse 12, and he took a couple of guys with him, but he told no one. He told no one, because why? Because he was going to view the place. He was going to see the way. And in verse 13, he said, and I went out by night through the valley gate of the serpent's wall and the refuse gate and view the walls of Jerusalem, which were burned down, and his gates that were burned. You know, so he went to see. He went to see. And in verse 16, and the officials did not know. Sometimes there are things that you need to do on your own. Sometimes there are things that you need to follow on your own, you know, and let it be you, and then you and God. And after you figure all this out, God's going to make a way. So he said that he went, he did not let nobody know what was going on. Because you know why? Because sometimes what God has given you is for you. What God has said to you is for you, and that's not for nobody else to know anything. It is a private conversation between you and God. And sometimes God speaks to us directly, you know, and we got to make sure that we don't share everything with everybody. Why? Because the enemy wants to put his 2 cents in there and bring doubt and say, did God really say that? You know, did God really answer you? You know, are you really hearing from God, or are you doing what you want to do? So we got to be careful to whom we share with, you know, and make sure that, you know, because it's the right time for everything. So here he didn't say anything, but he went out. Now he returns, you know, because it says, I have not told anybody anything, none of the officials. And in verse 17, he said, and I said to them, that once he came back, and he tells them, you see where Jerusalem lies in waste. You see how the gates, you know, are burned with fire. And he says, now come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem that we no longer be in reproach. The word reproach pretty much means shame. It means disgrace. So pretty much Jerusalem was in disgrace because the walls were torn down, the gates were burned, you know, and then the people were not protected with all this. But here, now the people are, you know, he's telling the people, this is what we're going to need to do, because sometimes things are not going to get done until you do something about it. Sometimes God is waiting on one of us to step up and do, you know, do something for his kingdom. And sometimes nobody else is going to do it, but we are the ones that are going to start it. So whatever God is calling you to do, get ready, because he's going to make a way for you to do what he has called you to do. Just like Nehemiah here, you know, he was thinking, okay, how am I going to do this? But God was guiding his hands and his feet one step at a time. And here, you know, he went before the people and he told the people, you know, in verse 18, and I told them that the hand of my God, which had been good upon me also in the king's words, you know, that he has spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build, you know, that they that they may put their hands on this work. So once, you know, once Nehemiah spoke to them, he motivated them, you know, he shared the plan that, that he has for building the walls. Now the people are coming together to build the wall. Again, I ask the question, what is it that God is telling you to do? What is it that God has challenged you to do? You know, that maybe perhaps you haven't done yet. Come on now. I know myself, if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget. If I don't start moving upon it, you know, I might forget. So therefore, I like to write things down. I like to remind myself. I like to remind myself, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And make sure that when God has spoken to me and I take that step, you know, it's going to be one step at a time. Because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know. I got so many questions just between you and I got so many questions and not enough answers. But you know what? God is telling me one day at a time. One day at a time. Take one day at a time, one step at a time. And he's going to show me. He's going to show me the way. Because even though in this walk that we walk in, you know, even though it's difficult, and even though we trust God, this body and this head sometimes, you know, he sees everything going on, and we get fearful, we don't know what to do. We say, okay, what's going to happen next? How am I going to go through this? How am I going to have the victory through this? You know what? When I was in the hospital, and they kept taking my wife back and forth, the one thing it was always, how come it's taking so long? How come they haven't come back and told me something? You know, did they find something? Are they doing something? And then when she went for surgery, you know, that you don't hear anything for a while. You know, I hope everything is going right. And you're thinking, what's going to happen? What's going on? If something else went wrong, because, you know, should have been a half hour. So here we go, an hour passes, 2 hours pass. And you're thinking, what's going on? You know, because that's the human side of us. The spiritual side of us is saying, God, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. And I thank you that you are in control. The human side of us is like, oh, man, you know, oh, man. And all these things come to mind. That's why we have to make sure that we take all these thoughts in captivity and say, no, you know, your word says, Lord, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Your word says that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Your word says, Father, that nothing is impossible for them that believe. Your word says that you have not because you ask for not. And I start doing all these things. I start repeating the word of God to myself, because I was the only one there with my wife. So I ministered to myself and I said, you know what, God, you got this. You got this. You know what? And praise the Lord. You know, surgery went well. You know, she's resting right now in the other room, you know, and healing is in process in the process right now. So we need to make sure that we maintain our focus, because the enemy, all he wants to do is bring division, and he wants to laugh at us. Because, you know, when you read this here in verse 19, it says that these men that we talked about before, Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, you know, and then to bring the other guy, Gishon the Arab, you know, they laughed at us and despise us. You know, there's always going to be ridicule. There's always going to be somebody that doesn't agree. There's always going to be somebody that's saying something negative. Can't listen to them. We got to listen to the Lord. We got to listen to what the Father says. And the Father says, you know, I got this. The Father says, you know, I hold you in my hand. You know, you are mine, you know, and no one can take you. So therefore, you know, we need to make sure that we focus on God. We trust him, just like Nehemiah was taking these steps. Even though sometimes the steps were difficult, even sometimes people were laughing, he focused on rebuilding the wall. You know what? And in time, the wall will get rebuilt. And it got rebuilt. But God is telling us, you know, to stay on track. Stay on the path that he has set before us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." You know, you don't have that spirit of fear. Even though some fear is going to rise up, okay, fear is going to try to come up in all kinds of ways. But we have to make sure that we take that and throw it out the door and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. And it says right here, you know, "I did not give you that spirit of fear, but of power." Of power. That's authority that we have in the name of Jesus, and of love, and of a sound mind, that we're not going back and forth. We're not going back and forth. We got to make sure that we focus on God and trust God, you know, and believe in him. In Philippians 4:13 says, "And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We can do all things. Believe me, I have shed tears this week. Come on. You know how real I am. I don't mess around. I'm a very loving person. I'm a very emotional person. And you know what? That's the way that I'm built. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to cry. I'm not afraid to weep before God. And I don't care who's watching me. Sometimes, you know, when I'm worshiping God, I might be in tears. And that's just me and God. That's just the way I am, you know. And tears are good. Tears are good because the word of God says that he collects our tears. That he collects our tears. No tears that fall, you know, go unnoticed. But the Lord himself has caught all those tears. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. And he says, "I will go with you. I am here with you." In Romans 8:31, it says, "What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us, who can be against us? You're not alone. God is with you. God is with you. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those," come on now, "those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So therefore, all things work together for good, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, and it can be difficult. Come on. You heard me sharing with you of this week, you know. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't the Lord's strength, if it wasn't the Lord's compassion, if it wasn't the Lord's mercy. I would just say, you know what, let somebody else do the study on Friday. I got too much in my mind. I got too much in my head. But you know what? I draw strength when I get into the word, when I study the word, because you know what? As I read this, and what it's ministering to me, it's building me up. You know, and it becomes real. And that's why I can say, you know, I can say with Nehemiah, you know, that, you know, God's plan is there. God's plan for me is here, you know, and I need to follow through. I need to march through. I need to make sure that I take the ground and move forward. And that's what we do. That's what we do. So God is in control. And, you know, and that's why. That what, no matter what I go through, God is making a way for me. God is making a way. He gives me grace and he gives me favor. And that's why I love him, because I know while at the end of the day, when everything is said and done, he's got this. He's got this. You know, it's not my fight. It's his fight. You know, he goes before me, you know. And look what it says in verse 20. It says, "So I answered it." Now here is Nehemiah again speaking to these guys that are ridiculing, that are laughing at him. He said, "And I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us." The God of heaven himself will prosper you where you're at, will prosper you where you're at. You know, "Therefore, we, his servants, will rise and build, but you will have no part of it." We, his servants, will rise up. What do you need to rise up this morning, my brothers and sisters? What do you need to rise up before the Lord and do for the kingdom of God? If he has called you, he has prepared you. He's making a way for you. We need to make sure that we focus on him, you know, because he's making a way for us. You know, I give God all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. I wouldn't be able to do or share what I do and share if it wasn't for him. He's making a way. And if he can do that with me, he can do that with anybody, because I might be a difficult individual, okay? You know what I mean? I am loving. I know that I try to love everybody, but you know what? You know, I'm still human. I'm not perfect by no means. You know, sometimes I got to go smack my own head, you know, and say, come on, get with it. Come on. You know, sometimes I got to shake it off. Why? Because as the priest, as the leader of my family, there's a lot of burden. There's a lot of weight there. There's a lot of responsibility there. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. I don't know how many tears I had to suck up when I was in the hospital with my wife. I had to go, okay, hold it, keep it together. She needs to see me strong, you know? In private, it's a totally different story. That's when I can be real with God and I can say, okay, God, you help me. You show me. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know. But I know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I know that he is mighty, that he is powerful, that he loves every single one of us. Every single one of you guys that are listening and hearing these words, the Lord loves you. You are special. You are his. You are his sons and you are his daughters. Don't listen to what the world has to say about you. Listen to what Father God has to say about you, that he loves you, that he loves you. Come on, that he loves you, and he's going to make a way for you. Yes, it's not always easy, but you can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, we can do all things. And that's what Nehemiah did. You know, he did what he had to do. And I'm sure he didn't have it all together. He wasn't perfect, but he tried and he did it. We can do the same thing. So keep your focus. Keep your focus, my brothers and sisters. Whatever God has called you to do, come on. Come on. Just because it's difficult, that doesn't mean you got to stop. When it gets difficult, that means that you're doing something right. Because you know what? When all these storms hit all at once and you feel that pressure and you feel like, oh, I can't breathe. It's because I'm doing something right and the enemy is upset. And guess what? Too bad. I'm going forward. I'm moving forward. And God's making a way. And the victory is yours and the victory is mine. So I pray that you got something out of this this morning. I know that I was a little bit all over the place. But you know what? God knows who needed to hear these words this morning. You know, these words that I'm just from my heart that, you know, no matter what, God's there with you. God's there with you. And I say it one more time, God is there with you. You know, so keep your focus. I love you all. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your peace, for your joy, for your strength, for your guidance. Lord God, I thank you, Father, because no matter what, my Lord, you are in control. Father, you know what you're doing, Father. We're the ones that don't know what we're doing half the time, Lord God. So help us, Father God, as we navigate our lives, Father God, as we move forward, my Lord, that you will just guide us, that you will just strengthen us, Father God. I pray for those, Father, who are going through struggles, who are going through difficult times in their lives, in their homes, in their family, in their marriage, in their children, in the job, Father, whatever it is, Father, there is nothing that's too difficult that you cannot fix, Father God. There's nothing that's impossible, Father God, for you. So I pray you will be merciful, Father, that you will answer them, that you will strengthen them, that you will heal their hearts, Father God. Heal their bodies, heal their minds, Father God. I thank you. I thank you for their victory ahead, Father. I thank you for the victory, Father. Even before it happens, Father, we thank you in advance, Father God, for what you're going to do. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, have a blessed week. Let's not forget, you know, love for the houses this weekend. I think all the campuses are going to be busy doing something. So let's please, let's help out a little bit to get the house of the Lord in order. Because guess what? He's going to bless us in a mighty and powerful way. So have a blessed weekend. Keep your focus. Love you. Talk to you soon.